I just want to read it this morning. Just want to talk to you about what you have in your spirit today. What you have, what you already possess in your spirit today. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, they're going to put it up here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? What is he? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Hold up your Bibles this morning and let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around, give somebody a high five and say, you're new. Wow, you're new. Praise the Lord. If you know, if I was to ask you today, I would say, who are you this morning? Do you know who you are? And most of you would immediately say, yeah, I know who I am, right? So your immediate answer is, of course I know who I am. Of course I do. But can you imagine for a moment, you can turn me down a little bit, guys. Can you imagine for just a moment that what it would be like to suddenly lose all your memory? I don't know what they said, but it sounded funny, so I'm going to laugh. So, you forgot where you lived, you forgot your name and who your wife was or who your husband was or who your kids were, and you just forgot all of that. You know, it might be terrifying for a moment, right? So, a few years back, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I came home one day and from work, and I went upstairs and I had some weights, and they're not heavy weights. You know, I'm not a heavy weight lifter, but I went up there and I started lifting some weights, and I was lifting these weights, and all of a sudden, I couldn't remember today. I mean, it was completely gone. And I walked downstairs in this kind of dazed look, and I told Holly, I said, I can't remember anything about today. And she got all, kind of shook up a little bit and called Kay, and they rushed me up to the hospital, and then they put me through some tests, and they said, you know what, we got to send you, because they thought I had maybe a stroke or something going on, so we got to send you over here to the other hospital. So they put me in the ambulance, and, I remember my ambulance, my first time in the ambulance, and I told the guys, I said, hey, this is my first time in the ambulance ride, and I said, I'm excited about this, and so we went, and I was giving peace signs outside the window to people who backed up in it. Yes, I was just not on purpose. It was just, so we got to the hospital, they put me through all these other tests and all this stuff, and kept overnight, and then the next day, the neurologist came in, and he said, you had something that he said, you're fine. He says, there's no indication of stroke, nothing like that. And he said, but you have something that is called global transient amnesia. He says, it's very, very rare. It happens to very few people, and they'll forget the entire day. And guys, I want to tell you, I forgot the entire day. I didn't know what went on that day. I knew Holly, I knew Kay, but I forgot the entire day. And I was thinking, whoa, this is good. And he said, your memory of that day will slowly come back to you. And it did. And it was crazy. And I looked it up online. It's so rare people have it. And it's like, wow, it's just like, this thing. But I'm so glad today I know who I am. And I know who you are. And I remember yesterday. Aren't you blessed about that? But, there is an enormous security in knowing who you are. If you know who you are, there's a security in knowing who you are. And that's one reason that people are so reluctant to change. They are secure in what they know. And being secure in what they know, they're reluctant to change and become who they really are in Christ. They are secure in what they know, and they feel fearful about what they do not know. You agree with that? Hello? So, and it's also a necessity that you know who you have become in your spirit. You need to know what happened to you when you were born again and who you become in the spirit man. Now listen to me. A lot of people in so much of teaching, and you guys have sat under my teaching long, you know about this. You know about the trichotomy, that we're made up of what? Body, soul, our mind, will, and emotion, and what else? spirit. We're made up of that spirit part. And a lot of teaching and a lot of churches and a lot of religion, they don't teach you that. They teach you that you're made of body and soul, and that's it. And we hear about soul winning. Actually, it's not soul winning, it's soul changing. Hello? And it's spirit winning, because we are looking to, you know, put out the good news so people have a revelation of who they are in Christ. So when they receive them, their spirit is born again. And over in 1 Thessalonians, let's put this up, 5:27, because this is really interesting. Paul gives us an understanding here, or a revelation into who we really are as human beings, that we are more than just flesh and soul, or more than flesh and personality, but we are flesh, personality, and what? Spirit. And it's the spirit part of us that is changed and born again. All right? Look at this. I'm sorry, 23. Yes, 23. Back up a little bit there, brother. That's a good one too. But now may the God of peace himself sanctify. Aren't you glad he's the God of peace? The God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. So we are made in the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we are spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And you have to re-educate your mind to the fact that that's who you are now, that you are a spirit, and your spirit has been born again. That's a part of you that is brand new, has been changed, and is born again. But you've got to re-educate your mind to that. Amen. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're going to go back to this verse again. But in all the teaching I've done over the years, I believe this verse of Scripture is paramount. It's paramount in the fact that we need to understand this, because this is where our life is changed and our soul is renewed to what we have in Christ. And it's right here. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice. So, you know, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Once we become a Christian, we understand that. We present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, something that's dead but yet alive. Hello? Dead to the things of the world, but alive in Christ, right? Amen. They may preserve your body, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is what? Reasonable service. And here it is. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is an acceptable and good. Hello, good. Did you notice that? And perfect will of God. That's what God wants you to do. You know, as Christians today, I believe each of us have a specific calling that God has on our life. And when we're involved in a church family like we are here, and we're together as a body of Christ, each one of you have gifts that you offer to the Lord in service to Him. Not that it's something that we do out of a flesh thing, but it's just out of a desire that God places in our heart. It's like when I was called into the ministry, God put that desire in my heart, and I walk out that calling. But in a body like this, each of us have different gifts and callings to honor the Lord and to serve the Lord. God's got something specific for you to do here. He does. And He wants you to do it with excellence. Everybody say excellence. God's got things for you to do here. I want you guys to begin to pray. God, what can I do here that I can make a difference in this church, in this body, that I can serve people? Because it's all about serving, guys. It really is. What can I do that will make a difference? Amen? And that's what, you know, people are always asking, God, what is your will? Well, your will is your word. But then He also has callings on our life. And God's got a calling on your life. Turn to somebody and say, God's called you. Amen. Now, you know, you may have many gifts. You can have, and I'm not teaching on gifts today, but I probably need to do that at some point. But you may have many gifts. You know, I have the gift of teaching. I have the gift of singing. I have the gift of playing music. You know, I have a lot of gifts. My daughter has a gift of music. You know, my daughter over here has a gift of just being hilarious. She could be a Christian comedian without, you know, any doubt about it, you know. And many of you have gifts. And so I want to encourage you this coming year, say, God, what is my gift to this body? How can you use me to make an influence and change people's lives? Y'all hearing me? Turn to somebody and say, did you hear that? So look at Romans 8:37. It says, we are more than conquerors through Christ, through what? Who loved us. We will not benefit from that truth until we convince our mind of it. No more than a millionaire would benefit from his bank account if he didn't know he had $1 million there. And what's so amazing about this scripture in Romans 8:37 is, first of all, you've got to be convinced that God loves you, that he's not mad at you, that he has a plan for you, that he's madly in love with you. You've got to be convinced that God loves me. No matter what, God loves me. Man. So, you know, for the most part, the condition of the body of Christ has been in, they simply are ignorant of who we are in Christ and in our spirit, and of the rights and privileges that we have. We have rights and privileges. Here in the United States, we have rights and privileges. Y'all realize that? Our Constitution guarantees that. But if you're not understanding or know the Constitution, you don't know your rights and you're not able to take your rights. God wants you to take your rights. Oh, amen. I'm teaching way better than your amen this morning. Amen. God wants you to take your rights. Let me give you an example. You know, when Abraham Lincoln's presidency, he signed the Emancipation Proclamation, who freed all the slaves. Yet at that time, a lot of slave owners did not show that document to their slaves. And so they kept them as slaves when they were actually free. If you don't know, folks, you can't be free. And the Bible says, look at Hosea 4:6. I love this scripture because it's such a good word, such a good scripture. Amen. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. God wants to give us revelation of all that we possess in our spirit when we're born again. All that we have in Christ Jesus. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. You know this verse of scripture. It's a great scripture, but look what it says. 2 Peter 1:3. Wow. As his divine power has given to us some things, a few things, just a little bit. When we all get to heaven, we'll have it. No. Has given us all things that pertain to what? Life right now and godliness. God has already given us all of that through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You know, if Satan could convince or keep Christians ignorant of unbelief about who they have become and their rights as a child of a king, he can keep them in bondage even though the law of liberty in Christ Jesus has been put into effect. Did y'all get all that? He can keep them in bondage even though the law has been put into effect. Amen. The most effective tool or the way the devil has done this is through religious unbelief. Specifically, the doctrine of teaching about of being unworthy. I'm so unworthy, Lord. Lord, I'm so unworthy. Lord, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Praise God. Well, I was no sinner, but I got saved by grace, and now I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But that teaching has permeated the body of Christ, and that's how people feel. That's how they feel. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. It tells you who you are. It says this very thing. I love this. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be what? The righteousness of God. I am not unworthy any longer in my spiritual man. In my spiritual man, I am not unworthy. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:24 says, what? And that ye put on the new man. That is speaking of your born-again spirit. You put on the new man, which is what? After God is created in where? In righteousness. That's who you are. Turn to somebody and say, I am right on. Where are you right on at? In your spirit. My spirit is righteous and true and holy. Hallelujah. Therefore, I can receive everything that God has for me. But that takes a lot of convincing to people because they've been trained in religious thought and really haven't gotten the word for themselves. They've been trained in religious thought and really haven't gotten into the word themselves. But someone would say this, because they'd bring up this out of Isaiah 64:6. They would say, you know, all our righteousness are filthy rags. And then they would turn over to Romans 3:10 and says, there is none righteous, not no one. You know what that scripture is referring to, both of those? It's referring to self-righteousness, which can never bring us into fellowship with God. Living up to the law can never bring you into fellowship with God. Only Christ lived up to the law. He's the one that brings you into fellowship with God. Only Christ could do what you could not do and never, ever, ever are able to do. Only he did it. And because he did it and gave it to you, you have to receive it as a gift. Hello? Wow. It can never bring us into fellowship with God. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But Jesus took our sin and became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means in our born-again spirit, that's the part of us that is in him. If you accept the first part of this verse, that Jesus became sin for us, then you have to accept the next part, that we received his what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. And it's not a righteousness which is imparted in heaven. It is here that God has perfected our spirit, soul, and glorified body. Wow. That's what God's going to do. Amen. Ephesians 4:24 says, our spirits are now what? Righteousness and truly holy. Look at Ephesians 4:24. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures this morning, but it's good. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in what? In true righteousness and holiness. That's who you are now in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's who you are. That's what God has for you. Amen. He has perfected your spirit. The spirit that we had, which was dead unto God, is gone, and we've received a new spirit. Before you were born again, that spirit, man, did what it did, wanted to do. It was the wrong spirit. But once you were born again, you have a new spirit created in righteousness and truly holy, and you're perfect. You're perfect. Turn to somebody and say, I'm perfect in my spirit. And it's the same spirit that we'll have throughout eternity. The flesh part will be changed, but our spirit salvation is complete. Look at Colossians 1:12. Look at Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Says that we have been made or fit or able to partake of the inheritance of the saints. In our spirits, we are now what? Overcomers. You're an overcomer. Turn to somebody and say, I'm an overcomer. We are an overcomer this morning. Why? Because in our spirits, we've been born again. Praise God, man. I love this. This is awesome stuff. And so the Christian life now is simply renewing the soul and body to what we have in Christ. That is why I love Romans 12:1-2. It's simply what we do. We renew our minds to what we have in Christ and our body. We tell our body to line up with what we have in Christ. Wow. Jesus. Look, turn back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, because I want you to look at this. Look at this again. And do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul didn't pray that they would receive some new thing from God. Did you notice that? A lot of people, I always hear, well, I'm just hungry for some new thing from God. I need something new from God. Paul didn't pray that. He didn't pray that at all. Paul prayed that they would what? Rather renew their minds to what they already have. Amen. When we renew your minds and prove or make manifest to your physical senses. You know, the Spirit's something you can't feel. A lot of people think that when you feel the Spirit, you can't feel a Spirit. It's something you don't feel. We have our emotions. That's where we feel things, in our emotions. But the Spirit, you can't feel. Right? And Paul says, I want you to start renewing your mind and prove or make manifest to the physical senses what you already have there in your spirit. Make manifest to your physical senses what you already have in your spirit. How do you do that? By renewing your mind to who you are in Christ. And begin to renew that mind, change that mind, renew that mind to who I am in Christ Jesus. God did not change us only in principle at new birth, but we are now in our spirits a totally new creation. But until we first realize this and then act on it by faith, the enemy will continue to oppress us. And the first step of faith is knowledge. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? That was the verse of scripture I knew I was called on. If you read on down there, that's what it says. How shall we believe in whom they not heard? Right? Hello? So then faith, Romans 10:17 says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ignorance of who we are in our spirit has made it impossible for us to act in faith accordingly. Philemon 6:1. How many know this verse of scripture? How many love this verse of scripture? It's an awesome verse of scripture. Philemon 6:1. Can you find it, brother? Philemon, there we go. That the sharing of your faith may become what? Effective. How does it become effective? By the acknowledgement of every good thing. A lot of people say, you know, just bad things in me. No, every good thing that's in you. Well, where's the good at? It's in your spirit. Amen. Acknowledge every good thing that's in you. The verse makes it clear that your faith becomes effectual, starts working by knowing the good things that you have in your spirit. If you want to see your faith work, acknowledge the good things that you have. And you could turn the verse around and not change the meaning by saying that if you don't know what's taking place in your spirit, man, your faith won't work. If you don't know what's taking place when you're born again, that God deposited everything in your spirit that pertains to this life and godliness, he's deposited healing, prosperity, he's deposited all these things, peace, joy, all these things are in your spirit. And the way you begin to understand and see it manifested is you start acknowledging it. Lord, I thank you for my healing. I thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Lord, I thank you that I'm prospering. I thank you I have good relationships. Lord, I thank you for all these things that you've given me. Already done, already taken place. Wow. In my spirit, man. Religious teaching that most people have received today has either taught or left the impression that there isn't any good thing in us. Isn't that true? Isn't that true, guys? I hear that all the time. So there's nothing good in you. We've been taught that the way to activate the power of God in our lives is to keep our unworthiness and weakness continually before us. They characterize this by what I call, like it's a false humility attitude. Now I hear people say, without Jesus, I can do nothing, which is totally true. But you've got to keep it balanced with what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do all things. So we need to realize that we are totally dependent on Jesus, but we have to go beyond that and realize that we are, that as we depend on Jesus, we are totally superior to any weapon the enemy throws at us. We are world conquerors. 1 John 5:4. What does this say? Greater is he that is what? In us and he that is in the world. Right? We are world conquerors. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a world conqueror. Well, I love that. Put it up. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that overcomes the world. What? Even your faith. Amen. You're overcoming the world. You are a world conqueror today. Turn to somebody and say, wow, I'm a world conqueror. Amen. Man, that's awesome. Hebrews 12:2 says, we have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. I put this up last week on Facebook. I just do a little post each week on there, and I said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I says, you know, if you can never be down if you continue to look up. You can never be down if you continue to look up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But you know what most of us look at? We look at ourselves. And when we do, we see what? Failure. We see weakness. Hello? Anybody with me this morning? We see faults. And then what happens? We become condemned, and no wonder we're weary and have fainted in battle many times, because we're looking at ourselves instead of looking at him and what he's done. And when you look at him, guys, man, you're never going to fall. You're never going to fail, because he's never fallen and he's never failed. Amen. Oh, amen. So as we change our attention from our own frailty to Christ's sufficiency and take our place in him, our faith is activated. And then we receive everything God has for us. But if you're still looking at yourself and you get up in the morning and you say, wow, I blew it, or I did this, or I did that. And, you know, God, I'm just so messed up. Oh, Lord, help me. And God says, well, who are you looking at? Start looking at him. He's perfect in every way. Amen. He's never failed. He's never let us down. You know what? You'll start living as a king's kid instead of an orphan. God didn't make orphans. He made you sons and daughters of God. You know what? This teaching will revolutionize your life if you'll take it. If you'll take Romans 12:1-2, put this in your mind, get out of the flesh, because the flesh is ugly. And what I mean by the flesh, our soulless reactions many times are ugly. Hello? Boy, out of that soul rim can come all kinds of things, right? Bitterness, resentment, anger, outrage, murders, thoughts of murders, all these things coming out of our soul rim. You know what? That is not God. Jealousy, all those things, all those, that stuff that comes out of us in our soul rims at times, it's certainly not God. But when we look to Jesus, we know, man, it's all good. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk in my carnality. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit and just walk in that Spirit. I want to see people not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because if we start seeing people after the flesh, you know what? We're going to be judging people. We want to see people after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We want to see the goodness of God in people. Amen. Man, you are so good this morning. Turn to somebody and say, I am good. And I'm good looking, whether you believe it or not. And you are this morning. You are good. In Christ Jesus, we serve a good God today, not a bad God, not a mad God, but a good God. And when we start to renew our mind, our faith starts to activate within us, and we receive everything that God has for us. He puts in us thoughts and ideas and good things, amen, and expectation of good. Most people don't have an expectation of good. They're going to get up tomorrow morning and have an expectation of bad. I've got to go into work today. You know, and it sets them off for the whole week. And I just don't like what I'm doing. Well, change it. If you don't like what you're doing, change it. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Reveal it to me. Amen. Show me, Lord. You know what? He will. He loves you today. Praise God. You know, God wants us to, I know God wants us to excel. And, you know, sometimes we get frustrated in our flesh. But, you know, the Spirit is never frustrating. Turn to somebody and say, help me not to be frustrated. Anybody ever get frustrated? Anybody, let me ask you, anybody ever have the spirit of slap come up on you? Huh? The spirit of slap. You just wanted to slap somebody. You know, I really strive to be a person of excellence and really strive to be that. But, you know, one of the things that you know, I just, Lord help me, I just want to, I won't even say it. But because, I don't know about you, but man, that's the way I react at times, and I've got to take that back. I had a guy come in yesterday, and he was from Scotland. And so we got talking. I said, well, my name's McIntosh. And he said, oh, look up your clan. And I said, all right, I want to do it. So I looked up my clan. We have a clan. I have colors and all this stuff, you know that, you know, they wear their kilts. I'm never going to wear a skirt, guys. I'm just going to tell you right now. You can call it a kilt. You can call it whatever. I am never going to wear that. It's not happening right here. No way. No way. I am not going to do that. But I looked up our clan. And you know what I said? We were fierce warriors and conquerors. And I think, well, that's part of me. That's who I am. I'm just a battler. You know, I'm a fighter. In my spirit, I'm a fighter. And I love things done with excellence. Amen. And so, you know, many times I have to catch myself because I'll get over in the flesh instead of being in the spirit. And I'm telling you, the spirit is much better than the flesh. Amen. God wants you to stay there in your spirit. And how do you stay in the spirit? By renewing your mind and by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You may get frustrated with your kids. Guys, stay in the spirit. Kids can frustrate you. We have a dog at home. Last night it was frustrating Holly. Lisa's dog, you know, it was climbing on her back, climbing on her head. It was like, it was just spazzing out for some reason. And, you know, she's calling me on the phone. I'm driving. This dog's all over me. I don't know what's going on. It's biting her and carrying on. You're just playing, of course. But, you know, it's like, wow. If you have kids that are 2 or 3 years old, they can be frustrating. And so you got to stay in the spirit. Hello? You got to stay in the spirit, right? You got to raise them in grace, right? Hello? Ask God to help you there. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give God some praise this morning. Amen. Come on. You can do it. Turn to someone and say, I'm a king's kid today. Amen. Let's raise our hands today and let's just worship him a second. Father, thank you this morning for all the goodness you have that, Lord, you have given us the ability to renew our minds to all we have in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we do that today. We thank you for everything that we have in you. Lord, we love you this morning. We praise you for your goodness today. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us in battles, God, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. God, when we are even at the end of our faith, you remain faithful to us, God. You're always there, always kind, always loving to us. And God, today, we claim out of our mouths that we renew our minds to who we are in Christ and our spirit man. Lord, that you've given us everything already that pertains to life and godliness. Therefore, we don't have to take anxiety. We don't have to take fear. Lord, we don't have to fear for our future. God, because we know you're there already. And God, that you have a good future for us. God, you said you gave us a good future. Thank you, Lord, and that you're with us today. Lord, we're not discouraged. We're encouraged today. Lord, we lift up our hearts to you. We thank you for what we have and who we are. And Lord, as we go through this week, we may have that tendency, God, to get over in that soul realm. God, I pray you just quickly bring us back to renewing our mind of who we are in Christ. We may have a tendency to want to fuss at our husband or even wife, but God, we choose to get back into the spirit, God, and out of love to serve. God, we thank you for that today. Hallelujah. Thank you for the children that you've given us, God. And Lord, we love them today. We just bless them. We bless each one today. We call ourselves blessed. Anybody call themselves blessed today? Blessed. Thank you, Lord. Call yourself blessed. Blessed in you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with 5 people this morning by grace and tell them you're blessed. It's who I am. It's who I am.